Welcome to all of you to this special service of remembrance and celebration. Welcome to all of the extended family members of Dave and Eddie Ginter and Cody and Jamie Falk who have come to join us. We are glad you could come. We have come to remember the journey of these two families, the unexpected, unannounced, uninvited presence of cancer, the accompanying fears, the uncertainties, the questions, the hopes. It's like somebody said, the treading of a new landscape, the embarking on a new journey never before imagined. We come to mark a milestone, the end of regularly scheduled treatments. This isn't a guarantee of being forever cancer-free. There will be ongoing monthly appointments. Yet it is important to mark this occasion within the context of recognizing the faithfulness of God's ongoing presence with us, and being thankful to God that these families have been able to reach this marker along the journey. Celebration is the concrete way in which God's joy becomes visible among us. Celebration is the ongoing awareness that life is precious, and that our moments and our days need to be recognized as a blessing from on high. Celebration is the way in which faith in the God of life is lived out through both laughter and tears. It is the unceasing affirmation that underneath all the ups and downs of life, there flows a solid current of hope and even joy, so that in the end it is still well with my soul. So I would like to invite you, as you are able, to stand, to greet those around you, and let's welcome each other here. Few announcements and a few updates. I think if you notice, they're pretty self-explanatory in your bulletins, in the inserts. There's a number of fundraisers that are talked about, even one this afternoon from Salem Foundation. Couple of updates. We keep mentioning Tim Weeb, who continues to deal with cancer-related health issues as well. He has had recently two MRIs over the space of 3 months, and they show no sign of any tumor in his head at all. Just absolutely no sign. It's just really, really incredible news. The possible best news he could have ever received. So he's very grateful, and so far everybody else is just very grateful to hear that news. Other announcements. Mark Dirksen and Kim Ginter, they got engaged last night. He's not denying it. And I read it on Facebook. Oh dear. We want to wish you folks well as you plan. Yes, good to be that. Good to see that. I think it's worth mentioning that Sarah Wall is the new manager of the 10,000 Villages store in Altona. Congratulations. Yes. Somebody mentioned there's an external hard drive that was left in one of the Sunday school rooms along the education wall, and that hard drive has been taken to the sound booth. If it is yours, That's where it will be. Two other announcements. I'm going to ask Ray and Mitchell to come make announcements, please.
Good morning. Just thank you for everyone who's been praying for my mom. Mary Clausen has been in the personal care home at Pilot Mound for some months now. I just want to let you know that she last week took a turn for the worse. She's pretty much sleeping 24 hours a day, not eating, barely not drinking anything. So, just if you can continue in your prayers. And it may not, the way it looks right now, may not be too long, so she'll be with us. Just wanted to let you know. Thanks.
Good morning. On behalf of the Finance Committee, I want to give you a little update on our financial situation. It's been 3 months, first quarter update from January to March. So far, we've brought in about $62,000, and we've had expenses of roughly $79,000, which means we have a bit of a shortfall. We're about $17,000 short. Now you may be thinking, oh, hey, $17,000, that's not too bad. Well, if you compare it to what we're budgeting for the year, if we take a quarter of that, our budgeted amount is about $93,750. So we have a bit more of a shortfall, about 30, whatever it was, if you click the next one there, $32,000. So if you go to the next slide, for those who are visual people, we have three columns. The first one is the one that we like to be longer than the other ones. But we need to kind of figure out a way to get that first line all the way to that budget line. So that's where I'm going to turn to this next segment, which is how to turn your $1,000 donation into $1,825 using taxes and math. So you may remember in December, we were trying to figure out a way to get some more donations going. And you may recall we had a $1,000 donation turned into about a $464 tax credit, which is amazing, right? It's like, wow, you give money and all of a sudden comes back. So what happens is, if you take that tax credit and you donate that in year two, that'll turn into a $215 tax credit. Now in the next year, if you take that, that'll turn into a $100 tax credit, and the year after, and the year after, and essentially, you've just turned your $1,000 donation into $1,825. It's magic. So, thank you, and happy donating.
It's really good you didn't have a red bar graph there somewhere, you know? Yeah, thanks, Mitch. From the psalmist, these words from chapter 108, verses 3 and 4. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Let's bow to pray. Thanks be to you, O Lord, for this day and this time of worship. From near and further away we gather. May our words, our praise, and our meditation be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Today is a celebration of the end of cancer treatments for Nettie and for Tenley. But it's also a celebration of God's love and care for us. It's a celebration of God's faithfulness and his promise to never leave us, no matter what the situation. He is always with us. I also want to introduce my sister Ruby, who's come all the way from Yonsei to be with us this morning and help with leading singing. It's always fun to do that with her. So I'd invite you all to stand as we sing together and celebrate this morning. Let's begin with 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship your holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger.
Your name
is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name, Lord, I'll worship your holy name. The splendor of
Thank you for those songs. Thank you also to Connie and to Jody for the decorations up front here and for downstairs. Thank you so much. I'd like to invite the ushers to take this morning's offering, please. Let's bow to pray. This morning, O Lord, we are grateful for life. The way you, as the Lord of life, have made physical life on this planet possible for us. We are grateful also for life abundant with you here and now, and eternal life with you forever. Thank you for the opportunity of faith in you. Give you thanks for how that has been manifested in the life of Mary Clausen. May you continue to watch over her and her family. May they know you still as their good shepherd. Thank you for your ongoing presence with Dave and Eddie, for Cody and Jamie and their families. In the midst of upheaval, and in the midst of days that have appeared bleak, and also during times of great hopefulness and triumph, you are our God. The one who has gone on before us, and the one who invites us to follow after. And so we claim your presence with us, your courage to walk the journey, and your joy and peace to accompany us always. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. From the Psalmist, chapter 42 and 43, often seen together as a unit, these words. Let us listen for the contrasts that are named in the text. He has the whole range of praise and lament, and three times the same refrain. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night when men say to me all day long, where is your God? And these things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Pizar. Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and ungodly men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God. To God, my joy and my delight, I will praise you with a harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. The great longing for God in the midst of tears and despair, oppression of the enemy, a soul that is cast down, the struggle to hope, together with the knowledge that life depends on God and our souls can't survive without God, as the body cannot live long without water. In the community of believers through worship, the psalmist's consciousness is again refocused on God, who is known and experienced, the source of our hope and praise. I'm going to invite Nettie Ginter and other members of her family to come and share with us at least a part of her journey over these past months. I invite us to hear and reflect on her words to us. Please, Nettie.
Praise the Lord is the first thing that comes to mind. I am so thankful for the phone calls, gifts, messages, rides to Winnipeg, meals, and most of all, hugs. This journey for us began on June 26, 2017, when Dave got the call that I did indeed have breast cancer. Every day that I would go to work, I would feel like I was arguing with God. I would ask him, why don't I have pain? Why don't I feel sick? This seemed like a regular conversation that I had with God, and I really didn't understand at the time. The winter was something I was not looking forward to with chemo. The doctor had told me to be prepared at least 4 weeks in the hospital because of cold and flu season. But by the grace of God, I had to go to the emergency room only once because of a fever, and I didn't have to spend the night. I had chemo treatments once every 3 weeks. So this cut into family gatherings, and sometimes my immune system was compromised. And so on Christmas Eve, I slept 18 hours. And on Christmas Day, I slept 20 hours. I'm not sure if my kids were home for Christmas or not. I honestly have to say that the last 2 months, things have finally started clearing up for me. I am most grateful for my family, my church family, because without all of you, I wouldn't have been able to do this. I have lost about a year of my life. I have spent so much time being quarantined at home that there are so many things I don't remember how to do. I have had so little energy that even sweeping and mopping is something that just is very, very difficult for me. Because that is all I can do after that, but Dave, and the kids just keep telling me, take it one step at a time. It'll come back yet. I have a family that I will never let go of. I appreciate everything my sister Sarah, my brother-in-law Kevin, my nephew Julian, and niece Annika, especially Annika, did for me during my radiation, opening their home for me for the 6.5 weeks of radiation. Sarah would at times spend her coffee break with me, and sometimes she would take me for lunch. She even showed me where the indoor track was so that I could go for a walk at times. God is in my life now more than he was before the cancer. Before, it felt like he just kind of was there. Now I know the power of prayer. I would tell Dave numerous times that I wanted to quit the treatments, and he would pray with me right there in the middle of the chemo. Dave has been the most important thing God gave me, and he is what keeps me going. Our family has become very strong through this. I'm so, so thankful for Lindsay, for all the morning phone calls on your way to work. And I'm so thankful for Kim, for all the times that you would take me to chemo and take selfies and just sit there with me. I'm thankful for Shania for coming to my blood tests and not passing out and doctor's appointments. Last but certainly not least, I am thankful for Jonah, for his wonderful sense of humor by telling me that pretty soon I'll be having long flowing locks. I am thankful for Dave's mom for taking time out of her retirement and taking me to chemo appointments as well as to doctor's appointments. All of you have a special place in my heart. I feel like we are only given such a short time on this earth that we need to spend more time with God. And something I am very, very excited about as well as very nervous is I'm going back to work for the first time in 9 months on Tuesday. Thank you.
I want to thank you all for all the praying for our family during this journey of my mom's cancer. Also, for all the times you checked to see how I was doing, making sure I was able, making sure I was okay. Made this time something I was able to handle. Just keep praying for us as we continue down this road. Thank you all very much.
Something I've learned on this journey of cancer is when someone goes through cancer in your family, you all go through it. When my mom is on steroids, you deal with the roid rage, you deal with the cravings, and you have to give in. You have to give her what she wants because it's a form of need, and it's really just what's important at that moment. And during radiation, my mom received a very special quilt from a company called Victoria's Quilts Canada, which is an organization that sends quilts to people with cancer at the request of someone. My class at school had the hugest, biggest hearts, and they requested to send a quilt to my mom. And it's a very wonderful quilt. It's so warm, and it's just, oh, she loves it, and I love it too. I definitely steal it sometimes. Inside the quilt is a Bible verse that says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go," which is Joshua 1:9. This verse has become incredibly special to me because my mom started chemo when I was away at Red Rock, and I was so sad I couldn't be there with her, so we would spend all day texting back and forth when I was supposed to be talking to other people and getting to know people. I was rather talking to my mom. It was a little bit more important. And while I was away, she got her head shaved and her port put in. So when I left for Red Rock, my mom had hair and no port. And when I came home, my mom was rocking the bald head and was getting used to her port. With the quilt came a poem, which has meant so much to my family. And the poem goes like this. What cancer cannot do. Cancer is so limited. It cannot cripple love. It cannot shatter hope. It cannot corrode faith. It cannot destroy peace. It cannot kill friendship. It cannot suppress memories. It cannot silence courage. It cannot invade the soul. It cannot steal eternal life, and it cannot conquer the spirit. I didn't realize how true everything in this poem was until I took the time to read it a few weeks ago. Cancer is capable of so much, but it cannot take away what we believe and our trust in God. I just want to thank each and every one of you for everything you've done. Thank you in specific to Walter and Marilyn for being there when I came running over to their house in tears over the devastating news I got on June 26th. Thank you for listening to me when I was sad and for making me laugh. I can't thank you enough. And thank you, church family, for the delicious and amazing meals you brought us, and I will say I enjoyed each and every one of them. So from the bottom of my heart, I thank you all very much for being here when we needed you most.
I'm just going to share a little bit here. I'm going to start with Tenley. You're a very, very strong young lady by the way you show God's love. When you came to Sunday school in my class with your great big smile and happy attitude, little did we both know that you were teaching me how to stay strong in faith in the face of cancer. Thank you. I love and truly admire you, Tenley. And Nettie, you are so strong. You said strong in faith no matter how sick you were. I love you now more than ever. The power of all your prayers from everyone was so evident. When we felt our weakest when we went to sleep, we woke up to have a good day. So thank you to all of you. May God bless you all. Thank you.
I would like to invite all the children to come forward at this time. We're going to have a time of singing together and also a special children's feature. So children, if you would come up and just sit on the front steps, and we're going to sing together for a little bit. Thank you. Okay, kids, we're going to sing a whole bunch of songs together, and you're going to have to stand because the first one is My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. So we need to use our hands and our voices to praise God. All right. Whoa, here we go. All ready? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. The mountains are His, the rivers are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you and you. One more time. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. The mountains are His, the rivers are His, the stars are His handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you and you and you. Great. Let's continue with I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And you guys got to yell to everybody else, where? Really loud, okay? And the second verse is I've got the love of Jesus. The third verse is I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. So we're going to sing that one a little bit slower because there's lots of words in that one, okay? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart, down in my heart to we want to sing about our light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. The second verse is shine it out from BMC. What does BMC stand for? Bloemenort Mennonite Church. So we want to chapter, Shine Our Light, out from BMC. The third verse is, Shine to show them Jesus cares. Okay? So let's start with this little light of mine. Everybody get your light up. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine it out from BMC, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine it out from BMC, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine to show them Jesus. Beautiful singing. Okay, kids, I'm going to get you to move on to the stage now, and you're going to turn to look kind of in that corner. So we're going to make a little bit of move a little bit. Okay, can I get you all to kind of come this way? Let's take the big kids here and just sit down on the floor. Where's my helper, Rod Fair? Where are you? There you are. Oh, somebody's sad. I have to just get this around you here, guys. Girls, all turn this way so you can see me. You want to just turn around? Turn around so you can see me. Okay. All right, kids. This morning you're going to help me make a poster. It's a special poster that's going to say thank you about all kinds of different things. And you're going to have a job here.
And Henley's papa is going to help you. He's going to give you some things to stick on this paper because it really doesn't look very nice right now, does it? All it is green with some black spots. So we need to decorate our poster. So first of all, I want to say thank you for prayers. So many people in church have been praying for Tenley and her family. It's so very important. So let's start with Tenley. If you will go to Papa and get a letter and a picture, and I want you to start decorating our poster. He's going to show you where it goes. There's some sticky stuff on the back of your letters. There we go. And one more thing. We've got a picture of some praying hands. So that represents all the prayers that have gone up for Tenley. All right, if you want to go next, you go get a letter. And that letter is going to be letter H. H stands for helping. Thank you for helping with bringing lots of delicious food to Tenley's house. Her mom didn't always have time to cook and shop, so it was so nice to come home from appointments and see that there was soup on the counter or fresh buns and lasagna. That was just wonderful. I also want to say thank you to a friend who brought me lots of soup. All winter I had jars of yummy soup. That was just really great. There's also something else we're going to say thank you for, and that's the picture of a lady helping a girl with some reading. And we have a special lady in our church who did that for Tenley. And now Tenley reads chapter books, and she does it well. And it's so exciting to see that because I love reading too. So we had someone special helping her with that. All right, the next letter we want to put up is an A. So how about if you go grab the A? And there's a picture that goes with that one. And A is going to stand for first letter in the word. What is that picture? Can anyone tell me? Angels. Have any of you ever seen an angel? No? At Christmas time, we sometimes see them, right? And we usually dress up our angels in a nice white gown and usually a little tinsel halo. That looks really pretty. But you know what? I think we have angels. I think we have angels on earth. You know that? I really believe that. So many people in our church have become angels here to Tenley and her family. They've just done so many wonderful things for them. So I believe we have angels here on earth. Now, the next letter in the word thank is an N. How about Cyrus? Would you go take care of the N? And that's going to stand for the word not, which is kind of weird, but let's see what it means. Okay, not being afraid or embarrassed to show compassion. What does that mean? That means that sometimes when a person is having a hard time and they maybe need a hug or something, you need to just go give them that, even if it feels a little bit awkward. It's just important to show that you care about them. Sometimes a phone call or a text from a friend was exactly what I needed to make me feel better. You know, as a grandma, I would feel sad if I knew that Tenley was hurting. Or if her mom and dad were having a hard time, that made me feel sad too. I think all grandmas feel that way. We just hurt in our hearts when our family is hurting. So it was so nice to have friends call me up and say, hey, how's it going? How are you dealing with things? How are you feeling? And that is what compassion is all about. And we need to do that very regularly with each other. All right, the next letter we have is K. Presley, can you go do that? Can you put up a letter K at the bottom there? Oh, I see Kennedy wants to help too. You'll get a turn. You wait a little bit. Okay, you stick it down there, Kennedy. Great. Why don't you give it to Kenny? Oh. Okay. Now, K. That stands for Kielkia. Who knows what Kielkia is? Yeah, a lot of us do. I think almost most of us know what Kielkia is. Those are big, wide noodles, right? And you have to eat kielkia with schmongfat. Yes. Tenley calls it white gravy, but really it has to be called schmongfat. And you know what? That is something that when Tenley had her steroid week, it had to be kielkia and vranikia. That was her favorite food. And so she's eaten a lot of that. For that, you know what? I need to thank ready-made noodles, Triangle Oasis, because I don't make mine from scratch. But we've had lots of that in our house. It's a good thing, isn't it? Let's move on here. So we had kielkia. Now we're moving on to our next word, which is you, starting with a Y. All right. Do you want to go help with that one? All right. You have been the hands and feet of Jesus, hands that have been folded in prayer, hands that have made raalkuchen, muffins, lasagna, and soups, hands that have knitted hats for Tenley, and also you've been feet that have delivered care packages, including something for each of the girls. All of those things have been so special and have just made everything easier. All right, our next letter is an O. Would you like to go help with that one? Okay, you go get the letter. Here, he's going to help you. Tenley's papa will show you what you need to do. There's an O. All right. Now, the O stands for offering and taking Cyrus, Tenley, and Scarlett for play dates. Tenley has had lots of appointments so sometimes the other girls needed to go to a friend's home for a few hours. And for Tenley, she got play dates too, and that was good for her, just to not have to think about being in the hospital. She could just enjoy playing with her friends. Or sometimes even Tenley's mom needed a little break from all the kids and she needed to have someone just take the girls. So that was nice that they could go other places for play dates. And I know some of the friends here in church have had some of the girls at their place. So we say thank you for that. Our next letter in the word you, Y-O-U. All right, I need someone to help with that. Would you like to go help? No? Okay. You want to help? Okay. All right, so we've got the letter U coming up. U stands for using your gifts to bless Tenley and her family. Gifts of activity books, crafts, and stuffed animals, and many other things. Also gifts that you don't unwrap, but gifts like generosity, hospitality, teaching, cooking, and baking. All these gifts definitely help to make this cancer journey easier to handle. All right, we've got one more word, and that is BMC. So it's actually an abbreviation. So we've got a letter B. Would you like to go? B stands for blessings. Blessings to you, all of you in the congregation who've been so much a part of this journey. God is looking down with favor on you for having taken care of Jamie and Cody and their girls. All right, Kennedy, would you like to help Papa? Okay. So we have a letter M, Bluminort Mennonite. Yeah. May you continue to be open to the Holy Spirit. To the Holy Spirit when he prompts you to help someone. When you hear that little voice telling you to do something nice for somebody, don't ignore it. You will be blessing someone when you listen to that voice. All right, we need another helper. Shiloh, would you like to help Papa? Yeah.
Okay, Scarlett, you can put on the picture.
We want the letter C. Can you give it a little bit of a turn there? There we go. We've got the letter C. Scarlett? There, we've got one more picture. Okay. C stands for continue to support others in our congregation. As we take care of each other, we become a stronger congregation, and our light shines out from BMC to show others the love of Jesus. So again, thank you, BMC, for everything you've done. All right, kids, you can go back to your seats now.
When my sister Ange invited me to come and help her today, I was really touched, and I just wanted to say to all of you that you're just a beautiful congregation, that you are standing behind the family the way that you have, behind Ange and Rod and the family, and Cody and Jamie and Tenley and the girls. And it's just really touching that you're doing a day like this to honor them and to support them and the others in this congregation who are also going through their cancer journey. And it's not unfamiliar to our family, unfortunately. About 5 years ago, our own son was also diagnosed with leukemia, and he's doing well. But what I did want to say is that the first time we went to the cancer clinic in Winnipeg, a good friend of ours there, one of the nurses, she just was so excited to show us the new pediatric center for the little children. And so I just kind of went with her, and she showed me the little loft and the sweet little dolls that the kids play with and everything. And I thought, that is such a beautiful thing that they're doing for the little ones. I had no idea that a couple years later, my own little grandniece, Tenley, Jamie's little girl, would have to walk her own journey and play in that little playroom, which is so much, it's such a nice room for the kids. It really is. But it's not really a place that you want to have to go. And just a couple months ago, my own mom and dad came, and I showed them that room as well, because my dad also has just been diagnosed with cancer. So we have all seen the unit. We're all familiar with the cancer clinic. And there's so many more questions than there are answers, truly. And I guess through it all, I just want to say that the surest thing for me is that Jesus does bring peace. And the way he does that is through the people around us. And you're Jesus with skin on. So your kindness and your generosity, your compassion, is what holds others up when they're going through times like that, like this. So Ange especially requested this song that I sing, and it's Angels Among Us.
was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods and I lost my way. It was getting late and I was scared and alone. And then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. But Mama couldn't see him, but he was standing there. And I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayer. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger to lend a helping hand, a phone call from a friend just to say I understand. Now ain't it kind of funny, at the dark end of the road, someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent unto us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. There were so many faces, showed up in the strangest places, to grace us with your mercy in our time of need. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show
thank you for that song. For those of you who have kept up with Jamie's blog, I think you will appreciate in a different way language and labels like blood counts, turmoil, pain, missed school days, stomach aches, appointments, anxiety attacks, steroids, emergency room, lumbar puncture, IV chemo, fatigue and fever, needles, neutropenic, sleepless nights, isolation, and side effects. And some contrasting comments. So grateful for food, flowers, and cards. Peace from God. and song lyrics. I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Another comment. Thank God for his faithfulness in meeting us exactly where we are, for his grace that is always sufficient, and his forgiveness that he offers freely. And finally, she is here to turn 7. I'm going to invite Jamie to also share part of their journey with us, a glimpse into that roller coaster ride of 2+ years. Please, Jamie.
I was here earlier in the week in the evening testing out the speech. And I stood behind the podium and I felt like I needed the stool, so I'm going to do it from here instead. I have some pride. I could add so many comments to what has been spoken on already today, but I think I just have to start by saying right now this room is just overwhelming because the most important people in our lives are here and from everywhere. And what's so neat, and I have to call them out, is Tenley has her school friends here today, and that was so important to her. We have family, we have a babysitter, we have friends' kids. This is amazing. And I thought I could get through it pretty unemotional, but, well, I limited myself to 2, so that's my rule. I thought about this a lot, but trying to figure out how I'm going to start today and how to start this whole sharing, 3 points kind of stood out before I would kind of get into the meat of it. And if you know what I'm like these days with a very long time of sleep deprivation and all these events, this is all very fuzzy up here. So when there are clear thoughts and there's any clarity, I grab onto them. So point number 1 is that we could focus on a single moment during these last 3 years, just a moment, and I could expel on it for hours, looking into the emotions and the feelings and what was actually going on, how God met us, who was with us. But I'm going to sum up 3 years in about, well, I'm going to give myself 15 minutes because I too am Mennonite and I like lunch at noon. So I guess what I'm saying, for every word I speak, acknowledge that there is 1,000 that are left unspoken. I'm going to give you a sliver of what we've done. Number 2 is Cody, Tenley, Cyrus, Scarlett, Shiloh, myself. We've all done childhood cancer. Often Tenley, Cody, and I were in the same place at the same time, hearing the same news by the same person, and yet our stories are entirely different and our experiences are unique to each other. So today I'm sharing from my viewpoint. With that said, we all have our roles. Mine's up here. Cody likes his in the pew, and that is just fine. And thirdly, again, it can't be said enough, is our thank you. There are so many isolating and lonely days, literally isolating for a long time, for months on end. We had to remain in our home, and because I was the main caretaker, it also meant that I had to remain away from people. The risk was too great. There are days where no one can walk with you, and they certainly can't take it from you. It was often on those days that a surprise meal would be dropped off. And so often, not just even a meal, there would be snacks for the baby. There would be popcorn for the kids. There would be stuff to pack for school lunches. A text that would come through with a much-needed verse. Someone just saying, hey, we haven't forgotten you. You were and you are God's hands and feet, and you have been a gift to us. August 2015, I'm 7 months pregnant. We are full into harvest. About 3 weeks into harvest, we get a 5 a.m. phone call. You know, it's usually not a good thing, a phone call at 5 a.m. Sure enough, our bales were on fire. That was the end of August. Beginning of October, I give birth to our 4th daughter, And a week after I leave the hospital, Cody walks back into it on his own because he's fallen off a pivot. He's broken his arm in three places and cut his arm to the bone. He'll spend 4 days there. He comes home. 3 weeks after that, the stomach flu hits our home. It starts with scarlet and it floods through. It was a bad one. Tenley, to this day, will still call November 22nd, 2015, her worst birthday ever because she was throwing up. She's milked that one a little bit. We had a good Christmas, I remember that. A little low-key, less energy, but we had a good Christmas. But in January, it seemed that Tenley was getting a second bout of this ugly stomach flu. But we'd all had it. I knew it was painful. I knew that it was a cramping one, so we would go through it again. She never returned to school. And on January 19th, we were in our local ER. We had been in urgent care prior to that. On January 20th, we got the diagnosis. Our five-year-old had acute lymphoblastic leukemia. We would be admitted that night. We would stay in for a week of intense, intense treatment. She would have a pick inserted into her arm. She would have a bone marrow aspiration. She would have a lumbar puncture. And I know I'm speaking a different language. Point is, there's a lot of pokes and a lot of tests, and it's not a lot of fun. In the next year, year and a half, we would have another three hospital stays. Upwards of 50 to 75 surprise ER visits, and I think that's probably a little shy of the number. Major changes to the farm. Our home would flood, and we would move out for a month while everything, and I mean everything that could go wrong with a renovation, went wrong. Our furnace literally melted. Our washer died. Our fridge needed to be repaired. Our water tank blew, and our microwave fan broke. Cody would have knee surgery. We thought a shower leak could be easily fixed, ended up being a gut job, and we went to the hospital midway through for 2 weeks. During this time, we were raising a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a newborn. We'd be driving to the city 2 to 3 times a week, to Portage 2 to 3 times a week. It sounds bad, right? It was bad. It is bad. So where's God's faithfulness in our story? I'm not necessarily going to go in chronological order here with what I'm speaking. I'm going to kind of go more into themes. But here it is. So going to back to the list I just gave you, for that fire we had insurance and it all turned out fine. Our precious Shiloh, we're going to call her on God's timing, shall we? We were a little more surprised by her arrival. He was not. If I could have picked ahead to have a newborn during a medical crisis with another child, or to wait for that other child, I probably would have picked to wait. But God knew exactly what we needed, and we needed Shiloh. You see, Shiloh was normal in the unnormal for Tenley in the hospital. It's normal for mom to nurse the baby. It's normal for mom to take care of the baby. It's normal for mom's attention to be on a sibling. So she was a taste of home everywhere we went. I also feel that a newborn baby is one of the closest things we're going to get to heaven on earth. They are so pure and untainted, so untouched. And there is something I find reverent and holy about new life. Tenley and I also have a little something called baby fever, just all the time. I'm not having any more. I'm not having any more. I'm done. But we do have baby fever, and we just love them so much. So at all times, in the same room where everything's going wrong, we always had something with us that was, oh, so right. But yes, a little bit more work. When Cody broke his arm, he couldn't do a lot on the farm. He had to come home. It was a good day. Weeks prior to Tenley's diagnosis, and I remember this very clearly, I was on the road turning from 14 going on to the 306. And I had a thought, and it was, how would I approach or handle if one of my children was sick? And I specifically thought if my children or my child had leukemia. Was it just because we hear leukemia most in advertisements and in commercials? What would I do? And I remember thinking that I would not want my faith to crumble in the midst of crisis. That it would not depend on how good my life was going, was how strong I stood in God. Now, were these my thoughts? Of course they were not. God was laying the foundation and the path for us months and months before we would ever know of cancer, starting with Shiloh, our pregnancy with Shiloh, these thoughts that we would have. God is faithful. A week after we were diagnosed, we had to go to Boundary for some appointment. But at that appointment, it just so happened that our very first niece was born the day before. Again, hallelujah. Because we were experiencing everything that was dark in the world. And that day, in that appointment, because kids are not allowed in the maternity ward, she was granted the gift of holding her first cousin. And we saw light. And it was good. I read this all to Cody once, so I'm assuming it's all been cleared. Cody's surgery, his knee surgery, changed the course of his life. And I know that he will be willing to speak about that, just not in a microphone. And I have to add this one as well, when we're talking about God's faithfulness. TJ was very sick. Oh, this is the one, eh? She's very sick. Doctors didn't know why. We'd done every test. She was on every single antibiotic you can be on. Every one. They were hard. We were on every medication we could be on. It wasn't changing. It was getting worse. And I asked the doctor, I just need to know. I need to know the details. Like, I have to know what I'm dealing with all the time. I want to know everything. Because how can I handle things if I don't know what I'm dealing with? And she said, well, I'd be more worried if you weren't here. This is where you need to be. You just need to be here. And she wouldn't answer me. And I didn't appreciate that. I got very nervous. That was the first time in my heart that I had bone deep dread. First time I called Cody, said, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to end. It's hard words to say. The next day, Tinley started getting better. Like, a lot. She ate, she drank, she woke up. Weeks later, give me a minute. Weeks later, I found out that Sunday, that day, she got better. You guys had had a kneeling prayer. Prayer for her, and she became well. You want to doubt prayer? I can't. Cody, I'm going to need more than two, okay? When we were diagnosed, there were two very clear thoughts that came, aside from all the cancer stuff. One, was how do we get Cyrus from today to the end without being lost? That was important to me. And two, we will choose grace. We will deal with any situation, any medical professional with grace. And we will be different. And I want to talk a little bit about that. The first week we were diagnosed again, there was just so much going on and a lot of just painful stuff, especially for a kid, right? There's so many strange people touching you and doing all kinds of things that just don't feel good. And during one of the last days we were there, she was getting a dressing changed on her pick, which is a line into your arm. And it's just really awful for kids. And so, again, we've talked before about how music is a huge part of our life. So I would hold her on my lap, and I would rock her, and I would just sing Jesus Loves Me. And she would start to calm down. She could breathe again, and it got quieter. Months later, our nurse of the day, who we love dearly, Sam, told me that I will never forget the day that you sang Jesus Loves Me. When we were getting our diagnosis in Winnipeg, Dr. Wall is speaking to us and we're listening. She stops kind of mid-sentence and she goes, "Do you understand what I'm saying to you?" I said, "Yes." "You're very calm." Well, Dr. Wall, I knew this was coming. No, we weren't calm. God met us there. He'd already been prepping us for so long coming up to this. We just didn't know it. I'd already visualized being in this room for months, and I didn't even know it. So God was in that room. Who even thinks about how they're going to cope with a situation while they're trying to cope with a situation? Nobody, because God was just thinking through us. Well, here's a great story. 1 month after diagnosis now, so we've done a lot of treatment. We're on medication every day. We're also driving in at least 3 times. A month after with leukemia, they hope to have you in remission. So what they do is they do another bone marrow aspiration. They pull some marrow out to test it, to see if you still have leukemia, as much as they can detect. So we were going to go in the morning. We were going to get IV chemo. Well, at that point, through a PIC. We were going to be getting a lumbar puncture, which is chemo through the spine. And we were going to get this bone marrow aspiration. But it should have been about a 3-hour appointment. They had it scheduled. We ended up being there for 14 hours. That was 14 hours or 14 hours of fasting. And everything that could go wrong that day, it went wrong. To this day, I'll stand behind that it was the worst day I've ever experienced. At the end of the day, it ended up with an emergency port surgery. And we'd been on so many wards. And every time you change wards, you have to start again. Allergies, so on, who are you, all the papers, all the signatures. And we had just met with our surgeon for the port the week before. This wasn't her. This was a man. We didn't know him. This was an emergency situation. We couldn't even get an IV in anymore. She'd been too bruised from IVs all through the month. And the one thing I promised her at the beginning was, "You are never alone." I'm not kidding. You got to bring me Kleenex right now. And I said, we are Team Tenley. You are never, she beat you. You are never alone. We are a team. You do not get poked alone. You do not have to cry alone. We are together. Well, I could walk into the surgery room with her, into the operating room, and they put her to sleep with gas, and then I had to leave. They walked us out to the waiting room, and then at one point a nurse walked back into where the recovery room would be, and it's closed doors. And I just came in behind her because I'm anxiously waiting for my daughter to come out, and I want to make sure I'm there. And another nurse comes out, and she says, "Oh, I'm sorry, you can't be in here." And I lost it. Like, I am talking the mother load. I lost it. That was it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I just, "She's 5 years old. She's 5 years old. She's my baby." And it was done. Well, I still couldn't be in there, so I went back to the waiting room. And then I cried to Cody. I'm like, "And now I have to apologize. I have to apologize yet to this nurse." And he says, "You know what, Jamie, it's okay. Like, I'm sure that they get all kinds of situations. My sister-in-laws are both nurses. I know that's true." But it didn't matter. This nurse was in for quite a surprise. Again, another one, her lucky day. She came back out to give me an update because she knows I'm pacing. And I said, "I have to apologize. I'm still crying. I'm a mess." Then, I mean now too, but then, I was still crying then. And she's like, "No, it's okay." And I said, "It's not okay. I love Jesus. And what if you don't love Jesus? And you don't know what Jesus is like because I yelled at you." It was quite something. Yeah, it was quite something. So she's sitting down and she's crying now. And well, she knows about Jesus now, people, okay? Oh, wild stuff, eh?
I'm even afraid half the stuff I shout out when I'm in a mess like that. I don't ask Cody either. I don't want to know. But we wanted to bring Jesus to HSC. I'm just going to add a little side note to that. Something I really believe. I have a good friend, and I'm going to talk about her a little bit later, about things we've received. We call her Miss Susie, and she's been in the hospital with her daughter for 2.5 months. She also has 4 kids. I'm sure you guys, a lot of you have heard of the UNRAS from Winkler, many, many months in the hospital. They have a great faith. I really believe in my soul and firmly that God is bringing a revival to HSC through Southern Manitoba, and he's using our kids to do it. So who am I to say that I shouldn't be exactly where he needs us to be? It's in HSC. So our story opportunities. See, we've had so many opportunities to share our story. Because God wants to use this story. I said at the beginning, especially after the gong show, that was everything before we were even diagnosed. Cody would call me. I'd literally say, "So what's burning?" And he could answer me. Like, we weren't even joking. I'm like, "Okay, well, then I'll see you later." This story was going to be used. We've done a massive campaign for cancer care. TV, buses, billboards, print. We've done radio interviews. We've been close with Katie Cares and their fashion show. She did the puck drop. She's the face of the Candlelighters organization, which is a support group for families dealing with cancer. She dropped the puck at the Jets game for their cancer support group. Our local gym did a push for Tenley, and an article was written about it. She's a race car with her face on it. 1 week before we completed treatment, which was about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, I was requested 4 different times to use our story. God has a plan for this story, and it's not just ours. It may be used for his glory. We have had so many opportunities to make memories that we wouldn't have had otherwise. We've received so many meals. We received the gift of our gym fundraising for Tenley. And then Miss Susie. Miss Susie created a box, a thoughtful, creative, amazing box of goodness, of gifts for Tenley for every monthly appointment. Game changer. We went from having to discuss the upcoming appointments round the clock, nonstop. What would it look like? When are we going? How soon are we going to get there? Weeks prior to the appointment to, oh, I cannot wait to get a box. Now we looked forward. When is our next appointment? She said, "Mom, but if I stop my medicine, don't the Miss Susie boxes stop?" That wasn't a fun fact. They did. If I picked them up in the morning, Miss Susie had a latte for me. I love Miss Susie. She would often include boxes for the kids or for myself. An incredible lady saw our campaign, reached out to us, offered us a princess party, and we had Cinderella and Ariel visit our home with Tenley's friends, put on a party. The same lady invited us to a massive indoor carnival complete with real carnival rides. And our kids had a blast. We've been invited to a closed evening at the zoo for families that are dealing with serious illness or disabilities. And it's been such a fun activity. We've gone 2 years in a row. Closed just to these ladies or to the people invited. Again, Disney princesses everywhere. Meals, activities, ice cream. It's really quite something. These are just some of them. When Rudy came down a few weeks ago to discuss today, he asked 2 questions. Well, he asked more than that, but these are 2 of them. What is something we've lost and what's something we've gained? I'll I'll talk a little bit about what we lost. And this one, again, particularly, I'm speaking for myself here because this would be very different for each person in our family. We're not at the end of this journey or road. We're now into the healing process, is often how I think of it. And there's a lot of real issues we're going to have to deal with. Physically and with the body, emotionally and mentally. And something that I feel I've lost is my sense of safety. My child's not safe, so then what is? See, we live in a world where when a child has a headache, they're immediately granted an MRI because their tumor's growing. When a child's throwing up, they get a feeding tube because they can't hold down food or liquids. When a child starts sniffling, or heaven forbid has a fever, you're immediately admitted to the hospital and you prepare and treat for the very worst. And that is the world we live in. Those are the kids we know. Those are the parents we talk to. We know too much now. So where is the guiding post from here when that first fever comes now off treatment? And I don't know. I don't have the answers for that. But what have we gained? I've gained a deeper understanding of faith because there were times where we had nothing. You had no control over the situation. We had done all the meds. We had done everything. We had faith that God would come through. I hear God's voice more clearly because I was at a point where that's the only thing I was listening to. I remember being on my knees over her bed at night alone. I have her on one side and the baby on the other. And I'm just praying from the bottom of my heart. God spoke to me there, and I've heard him better ever since. We've gained something very rich, an example you've been to our children. Our children have experienced the laying hands of prayer. They've experienced mass generosity and community. And that's something, solo, as just two parents, we wouldn't be able to teach them the way you have. I've often talked about how we live differently. I don't live a week from now. I don't think about tomorrow. I barely think about supper time half the time, so you want to bring meals. But really, for so many months, I could only live in the exact second that we were on because it was just too overwhelming. There was too much going on. And it would literally be, I would wake up and go, God, I don't think I can do it. How am I going to do this? And he said, just get up. All you have to do right now is just sit up. And I would sit up. Oh, success number one. Okay, just swing the legs over the bed. That's all you have to do. Just swing the legs over the bed. And that is how I would walk through day after day because we had to. We could not think farther than that moment. There was too much to deal with. But the other morning in our devotion, the girls and I, we actually were talking about Paul in jail, and they talked about contentment. And I think that's the word. That's the word I didn't know I was looking for, is we have learned to be content. We are content in a waiting room. It could be half an hour. It could be 8 hours. But we know to just be there. We're just there. We're not looking to be somewhere else. We're not thinking about what else we could be doing. No, we just live right there. We've learned to be content when we are in these awesome days and we're going on these carnival rides. We love them so fully. And we embrace every laughter and every climb up the stairs to the slide. And we enjoy it and we are living right there. It does make planning coffee dates a little troublesome because I won't nail down a date. But for now, this is how we live. And the verse that we read that morning was Philippians 4:11-13. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learnt to be content whatever the situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That gets on repeat. I can do this through God. We can do today through God. We can do this procedure through God. I'm going to close. Before I do, I just want to read a second here. Two verses I found in my book here, verses that matter to me, and I won't expand on them. I'll just read them. Psalm 27:13, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. So, as much as ultrasounds and x-rays, MRIs, port, medication, appointments, they're a part of our normal vocabulary, so are grace, thankfulness, humbleness, receive, gratitude, and faithfulness. Thank you.
It has been a rich morning of sharing, of hearing, reflecting, of prayer and song and celebration and remembrance. Thank you for your words, Jamie. Thank you, Dave and Eddie, for your sharing. I'm going to suggest that as a way to close this service, that we would stand and sing verses to the song that I will mention to you as we go along, but we need to sing the verse from, or another verse from the Psalms. Be still and know that I am God. After that, we will have a table grace or a table song. Let's stand to sing, Be still and know that I am God. 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 My boundless mercy shall endure. 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 I love you with a steadfast love. 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 And something we've heard a lot about this morning, in thee, O Lord, I put my trust. 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 May the words of this psalm be our benediction for this morning and for this week. And for always. We invite you to come and stay if you're able to for a noon meal. It's going to be one of Tenley's favorite. We have chilcha, we have pierogies, we have schmonfat, we have farmer sausage, but we need to sing first. And I understand that one of the favorite table graces for the Falk household is Johnny Appleseed. So we need to sing Johnny Appleseed. as our table grace. Please join me. Somebody want to do actions? Yeah, okay. Oh, the Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the apples. The Lord is good to me. And every seed I sow will grow into a tree, and someday there will be apples there for everyone in the world to share. The Lord is good to me. Join the apple seed. Amen. David and Eddie and Cody and Jamie, would you lead the way and make your way down, and let's follow after.